ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ शन्नो मित्रशं वरुणः, शन्नो भवद्वर्यमा, शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः। नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो, त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि, त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि, ऋतं वदिष्यामि, सत्यं वदिष्यामि। तन्मामवतु, तद्वक्तारमवतु, अवतु माम्, अवतु वक्तारम्, अवतु माम्, अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। लेट अस डू द फर्स्ट थ्री वर्सेस आल्सो एज पार्ट ऑफ अवर वी आर चांटिंग अदर मंत्रास टुडे। Three first three verses. Yasmajjatam jagat sarvam yasminneva praliyate yenedam dharyate chaiva tasmai jnanatmane namaha yairime guru bhivpuram padavakya pramanatah vyakhyata sarva vedanta stan nityam pranatosmyaham taitiriyaka sarasya mayacharya prasadatah vispashtartha ruchinam hi vyakheyam sampraniyate. The first two verses you are supposed to chant. Stay, we are doing namaskar along with Shankara Bhagavatpada. The last verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada's verse, which today I just want to say once. Taittiriyakasarasya mayacharya prasadatah vispashtartha ruchinam hi vyakheyam sampraniyate. So having made it clear the purpose of writing the commentary on Taittiriya Upanishad, Acharya started his commentary and he presented the Sangatihi first. I told you already, Sangatihi literally means sometimes information. In Tamil language, people use a Sangati. They always talk. They use a Sangati means information. But here in Shastra, Sangatihi means presenting the connection. As I said before, the first six chapters discuss only the subject matter of karma and upasanam. From seventh chapter onwards, the actual Upanishad teaching begins. Even only introduction like. But still actually only the eighth chapter actual Upanishad is presented. So, but 7th and 8th and 9th chapters are taken to be Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad. And Acharya talked about various, just mentioned how the karmas have been already discussed. Okay, all the karmas have been discussed. Why? Because especially the purpose of the karmas, karma in the sense various rituals, etc., discussed in the previous chapters. And those specifically, those Nityani Karmani, that specifically prescribed daily, daily, it also said to be Vihita Karmani. those rituals which must be performed regularly and daily also are meant, specifically meant for the neutralization, neutralizing the unknowingly, inevitably done papa karmas. And also the kamya karmas. Kamya karma means any karma performed specifically for the specific result, for the fulfillment of specific desire, is called kamya karma. So we are going to see today again all those karmas once again. All they have been discussed before. But now, then after discussing that, Prasanga Sangati, how until 6th chapter only karmas were discussed, now from 7th chapter onwards, the actual teaching begins, stating that, and Shankara Bhagavatpada introduced the teaching. In the last class, we saw how it is the desire which alone impels a person to perform an action. Action performed produces result, and the result of an action takes its own time to fructify. Therefore, the results remain unexhausted in one's account, and when the time for the fructification of the result of action comes, and in order to exhaust the result of action, one has to be born again. So, this repeatedly being born, punaha punaha janma, the repeated birth itself is for the exhaustion of the unexhausted results of the actions of the previous lives. So what is the immediate cause of the punarjanma? Immediate cause of the punarjanma is the punya papamas one has in one's account. The prarabdha karma. So we know very well, we have this karma. Karma in the sense karma phalani. The word karma is used to mean karma action. The word karma is used to mean the result of action also. So this Veda Shastram very clearly states this fact that from time immemorial, from beginningless time, everyone has been accumulating, every jiva has been accumulating the karmas, the karma phalani. So everyone has this accumulated, stored, unexhausted results of actions performed in various janmas. Why karmas become accumulated? Because the results of actions, these karmas, karma palani become accumulated because results of actions do not happen immediately. The results of actions are of the nature of taking their own time to fructify. I explained this in my previous, long, long ago, my previous classes, this already, still for the sake of reminding you, I'm repeating this today. Results take their own time to fructify. Even the action which was done much before, much later, the result of that action might have come much before that, much before. The action perhaps much later, the result of which may come much later, much later. What I mean is, the results of actions do take their own time to fructify. That is the nature of results of actions. If we throw into the garden on the same day, simultaneously, the same time, four different types of seeds. If you eat mango and throw the mango seed into the garden and sprinkle some, some grains like coriander seeds, and also throw some other some beans like mung bean, etc. When you throw some seeds, you can see in few days time you will see these coriander leaves, coriander or fenugreek seeds sprouting. And the other seed may take a little more time. The mango seed will take ages. I mean, ages in the sense, take very, very long. Suddenly, one day you'll find a mango, no sapling in your garden. Oh, you don't even remember when you had thrown this mango seed. Suddenly, you see the sapling. But it takes very long. The coconut and all, you put a coconut in the water well, it takes much longer for that to sprout. Four different types of seeds take their own time to, even though they're sown on the same day simultaneously, the sprouts do not come immediately on the same day. They do not start sprouting on the same day at the same time. That is the nature of the seeds. Similarly, the results of actions also take their own time to fructify. Therefore, some results of actions become exhausted immediately. Some results of actions remain unexhausted. And such unexhausted results of actions alone become accumulated. And is accumulated unexhausted results of actions from timeless time, from anadi kalat, okay, in various births alone are said to be sanchitam karma, sanchitani karmani, sanchitam karma or sanchitani karmani, sanchita karmani. You can make it a compound word, you can make it a single. Anyway, sanchitani karmani or sanchita karmani. So sanchita karmani everyone has. I mean, they have to be exhausted. So life will be, that's why janma is inevitable. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, we understand. But jatasya janma dhruvam. For the one who is born, birth is definite. Why? Everyone has karma. Everyone has one's own sanchita karmani in one's account. In order to exhaust the karma, results of actions, one has to be born again choicelessly. This is what we have to understand. We do not have any choice over our being born again and again. This birth itself has happened, okay, not because of our choice. We did not choose to be born. It is not our choice. But still we are born. What contributed for our birth? What caused this present birth? Is our karma. So immediate cause of janma is the karma phalani. The self-actions. Even though we have a huge, we do not know how much sanchitam karma we have in our account. We do have, all of us have. Every human being definitely has. Every living being has karma. Sanchita karmani. Only a portion of sanchita karma which becomes ready for fructification, which is ready for exhaustion, alone, all those karma phalani which are ready for fructification, ready for exhaustion, together come under the category of prarabdha karma phalani or parabdham karma phalam, parabdham karma. It is the parabdha karma which determines the present birth, present parentage, the present lives, the place of birth, time of birth, the life where we live, the neighborhood we have, the people we have to people we associate with, our acquaintances, and all the paths of opposite go through in life. The whole present life is determined by this prarabdha karma phalani. Okay. Prarabdha karma phalani. So we are born because of the prarabdha karma phalam. And Paraptha Karupalam is the immediate cause. And karma we have because we have Sanchita Karma. Sanchita Karma we have because we have performed actions. So action, performance of action, cause is the cause of the karma phalam. Karma phalam is the cause of the birth. And actions we performed because of the desires. So desire, kamaha is the kama, desire impels the actions. So because of desires, we perform actions. Because of actions, we accumulate punya papam. Because of accumulation of punya papam, we had to be born again to exhaust the punya papam. This is the order this Shankara Bhagavatapada presented first. Even though it's implied, it's the immediate cause is karma phalam. But again, moola karanam, why we have desire, I explained to you last class itself, which we understand the very introduction to Vedanta classes. The desire itself is because of the natural urge of wanting to live long, happily, forever. The fundamental desire. And that desire itself, because of the erroneous notions we have about the self, that there's all notions that I'm a limited individual, I'm insecure, I'm unhappy, etc. And these notions are because of erroneous self-perception. And erroneous self-perception is because of self-ignorance. So we understood this fact. Moola karanam is ajnanam. Sameepa karanam, immediate cause is karma phalam. The immediate cause of rebirth is karma phalam. The root cause of rebirth is ignorance. We understand this. Therefore, I'm seeing the port where we left. Therefore, only for a person, a jnani, only a jnani who has resolved his ajnanam, who has the clear vision of the reality of the universe obtaining as one's own self, for him, all the desires become fulfilled as it were, because he discovers fullness as his own sorupam. See, what is the benefit of jnanam? Suppose if there's a person who has attained jnanam, he is a jnani, atma jnani, is a brahma jnani. The brahma jnani, the atma jnani, the person of the vision of the truth, he revels in the vision of the fullness of happiness. For him, fullness, limitlessness, happiness is his own swarupam, essential nature. Therefore, he is free from the fundamental problems, that he is no more afflicted by the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I. As a person of fullness of happiness, being free from this fundamental problem, he is free from the hold of the phenomenon called desire for good. And being free from the hold of desires, there's no need for him to perform any action. Desire is not there, so actions are not impelled. The action impelling desires are not there. He has not given up the desires. He got himself freed from the hold of desires, a jnani, because he has resolved the fundamental problem of sense of limitations, sense of inadequacy, sense of incompleteness centered on I. This is very, very important. Pujya Swamiji always emphasizes this, that it is very important for one to understand the resolving the common human universal fundamental problem of sense of incompleteness, sense of limitation, sense of inadequacy, centered on I. Only in resolving this fundamental problem, the phenomenon called desire will become resolved for good. And the phenomenon called desire becomes resolved for good. The very desire cannot be triggered. No external world, no external objects can trigger this desire from subconscious mind. Desires which are there in subconscious mind, naturally, they become triggered. They surface. Then they impel the person to do action. Only as long as a person is affected by this fundamental problem because of erroneous notions caused by ignorance. The ignorance is resolved. Ignorance caused all problems resolved. Then the person is free from the hold of desires. Then there's no need for him to do any karma. Then he doesn't accumulate any karma phalani. Only in the wake of the jnanam, a person becomes free from the karma. And this having to be born again and again, choicelessly, helplessly, unavoidably, because of this accumulation of karma, alone is said to be karma bandhaha, bondage of karma. Why we call it bondage bandhaha? Karma bandhaha, karmanam bandhaha, karma bandhaha, bondage of karma. Means choicelessly, unavoidably, helplessly, we had to be born. We are born with the body, mind, sense complex. This choicelessness in being born alone is said to be bondage. There's no freedom. You are not free to choose not to be born. You have no freedom. You cannot choose not to be born. There's no freedom. This is what is bondage. So a person becomes free from this bondage of karma, which is said to be samsaraha. So once you're born, and death also is inevitable. So birth is inevitable, death is inevitable. In between birth and death, going through the experience of paths of opposites also is inevitable. This is what is said to be samsaraha, bondage of karma, karma bandhaha. So it is this jnanam. It is the knowledge of the self. Only in the wake of knowledge of the self, when a person becomes free from the hold of all the ignorance caused problems, he becomes free from this bondage of karma. Therefore, ignorance is the root cause of the bondage. The knowledge is the only means, only one and the only means of freeing oneself from bondage of karma is the attainment of knowledge. Knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of reality obtaining as one's own self. This is the main teaching. So Shankara Bhagavatpada makes us understand this in these lines. So I'm going to read the last sentence where I left last class. The teaching of Brahma Vidya is begun. For what purpose? Specifically for the removal of the cause of karma. Removal of the cause of karma, which means ignorance itself has to be resolved. The ignorance itself has to be resolved. Only by resolving ignorance, one can resolve all ignorance caused problems அத்தியாசம் அத்தியாரோபம் காம கர்ம ஜன்ம ஆல் திஸ் கேன் பி ரிசால்வ் திஸ் இஸ் ஹவ் ஒன் கேன் ஃப்ரீ ஒன் செல்ஃப் ஃப்ரம் பாண்டேஜ் ஆஃப் கர்ம திஸ் வி அண்டர்ஸ்டுட் ஆல்ரெடி தேர்ஃபோர் ஃபைனலி ஹீ செட் ஆத்மகாமத்வே ஆப்த காமதா ஐவ் கம் டு டுடேஸ் கிளாஸ் ஓகே பிகாஸ் இன் த இனிஷியலி வி நீட் டு ரிமைண்ட் அவர் செல்ஸ் திஸ் இஸ் தி லாஸ்ட் லைன் வி ஹவ் கம் அப் டு திஸ் ஆத்த காமத்வே ஆத்ம காமத்வே ச ஆப்த காமதா வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் இட்ஸ் இம்பார்ட்டன் நவ் ஹியர் ஆஃப்டர் எவ்ரி சென்டென்ஸ் வி சி கேர்ஃபுல்லி ஆத்ம காமத்துவம் மீன்ஸ் ஹேவிங் த டிசையர் ஃபார் தி அட்டைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் ஆஃப் த செல்ஃப் பிகாஸ் டிசையர் ஃபார் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப் மீன்ஸ் டிசையர் ஃபார் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் ஃபுல்னஸ் ஆஃப் ஹாப்பினஸ் டிசையர் ஃபார் ஃப்ரீடம் டிசையர் ஃபார் ஃபுல்னஸ் ஆஃப் ஹாப்பினஸ் desire for limitlessness limitless happiness is actually desire for one's own self why because freedom and the self are inseparable fullness of happiness and one's own self are inseparable freedom is the nature of the self reality obtaining as one's own self happiness fullness of happiness is also one's own essential nature Therefore, desire for happiness, desire for freedom is actually desire for one's own self. When a person understands the fact that this freedom is choiceless end, and he becomes committed to the pursuit of this moksha, he understands that jnanam being the only means of discovering freedom, when a person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam, that this burning urge for the self-knowledge will result in the attainment of jnanam in due course of time, not immediately, it will take. When a person becomes committed to the study of the shastram, accepting shastram as the pramana grantha, as a means of knowledge, when a person places himself in the right track, appropriate way of life, of course, in due course of time, he will attain this jnanam. When he attains jnanam, he attains in the wake of knowledge of one's own self, being free from self, being one's Brahma. And he, in discovering one's own essential nature, being fullness of happiness, he has all his desires resolved for good. Again, he'll also discover himself, one's own self being free from the doership and enjoyership also. In fact, freeing oneself from the hold of karma for good is also by discovering the fact that one's own self is free from doership and enjoyership. So, in the attainment of self-knowledge, naturally, one becomes free from the hold of desires. And being free from the hold of the phenomenon called desires, desire for good is as good as having fulfilled all the desires, which is said to be apta kamata, sense of fulfillment. This much you have seen already. Are you all with me? Okay. Now, we have to come to today's class. Atma cha Brahma. Atma cha Brahma. See how beautifully he takes us. Shankara Bhagavad Pada, how he develops the teaching very beautifully. The whole teaching has been given in a nutshell in his introduction. What he introduces here is going to be elaborately discussed later on. Now he says, Atma cha Brahma. See, absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the entirety of the universe, the whole cosmos, is implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of limitlessness. So the reality is Brahma. And that reality, Brahma, is available for recognition as one's own self, the very content of the I cognition. Therefore, Atma cha Brahma, the reality obtaining as one's own self, is this reality of the entirety of the universe. Which means Atma and Brahman are not two different things. Atma is Brahma. The only reality is implied by the word Atma. The same reality is implied by the term Brahma also. Why two different words? The only and the one and the only reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, thereby obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, is said to be Atma, is implied by the term Atma. The same reality of the whole cosmos, in terms of its nature of limitlessness, is implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, discovery of one's own self is discovery of the truth of the entirety of the cosmos. And discovering the truth of the entity of the cosmos is discovery of fullness, discovery of limitlessness, discovery of happiness. And discovery of fullness of happiness is attainment of happiness. Therefore, he said, Atma cha Brahma. Now he says, Tadvidaha. Tadvidaha means what? Tadvidaha. He paraprāptim vakshyati. See, vakshyati is a future tense verb. Vakshyati. Upanishad is going to teach us. In the second chapter of the Upanishad, Upanishad is going to explain. Upanishad is going to teach. Is going to say later on the fact. What is the fact? Paraprāptihi. Paraprāptihi means attainment of the absolute end. Param means absolute, ultimate. Paraprāptihi here means para lakṣya prāptihi. Attainment of the accomplishment of the absolute goal, ultimate goal in terms of mokshaha is there only for that person who knows the truth, who knows the reality, Brahma, obtaining as one's own self. Tadvidaha means what? Tasya atmanaha vidaha, brahmanaha vidaha. Vit means knower. Only for the knower of that atma, knower of that Brahma, Upanishad is going to say later on the accomplishment of the absolute end called mokshaha. So in this sentence, Shankara Bhagavata makes it very clear. Tadvidaha moksha praptihi. Attainment of paraprāptihi, attainment of the absolute end in terms of moksha is only for the person who knows the truth. The knower of the truth, the knower of Brahma, the knower of the Atma, the knower of the self alone can attain the absolute end. Why? Because attainment of knowledge of the self itself is attainment of the absolute end. They are not two different things. Knowledge and moksha are identical. So The knowledge being the only means of attainment of the ultimate goal is mentioned in this sentence. And he say, doesn't say, he is saying, he says Upanishad is going to say later on in the second chapter, Vakshyati, Upanishad is going to teach in the next second chapter that attainment of moksha is only for the knower of Brahman obtaining as one's own self. Having said that, now we move to the next sentence. Ataha, therefore. Okay, now it makes it very clear. Ataha, therefore. Avidya nivruttau. Swatmani avasthanam paraprāptihi. It's a very important sentence in this bhashyam. Important sentence, a beautiful sentence. We have to understand very clearly. Ataha, therefore, avidya nivruttau swatmani avasthanam paraprāptihi. What is mokshaha is explained here. Paraprāptihi, paraprāptihi means attainment of the absolute end, accomplishment of the ultimate goal in terms of mokshaha. Paraprāptihi is equal to moksha prāptihi. So mokshaha, freedom, is not something to be attained. Even though the word attainment is used here, prāptihi is used, paraprāptihi, moksha prāptihi does not mean really attainment. Moksha prāptihi, actually, in terms of knowing, discovering freedom, discovering fullness of happiness as one's own nature is in fact attainment of the mokshaha, paraprāptihi. And paraprāptihi, what is paraprāptihi? Swatmani avasthanam, very important expression. Swatmani avasthanam paraprāptihi. Avasthanam, sthanam means place. Avasthanam, staying. Sthanam as a gerund, it means staying. Avasthanam, firmly staying, firmly remaining. Remaining in what? Swatmani, in one's own self. Firmly remaining in one's own self. Remaining as one's own self, remaining in one's own self, or remaining as one's own self is swatmani avasthanam. So just being one's own self is swatmani avasthanam. So being one's own self, just being one's own self, remaining as one's own self, remaining in one's own self, is the accomplishment of the absolute end, ultimate goal. If you are just yourself, you are free. If you are yourself, you are free. Just being yourself is freedom. Just being yourself is happiness. Reveling in your own nature. Swa-atmani avasthanam, swe-mahimni sthanam, avasthanam. Swe-mahimni avasthanam means reveling in one's own, remaining in one's own glory, remaining with one's own glory. Swa-swarupe avasthanam, avasthitihi. Remaining in one's own self means abidance in one's own self. Swatmani avasthanam, abidance in one's own self, is nothing but being, just being one's own self. In Tamil, we can say, ni niyaha iruttal. So, abidance in one's own self, remaining in one's own self, remaining as one's own self, means being free from wrong identity. not having wrong identity, being very clear about one's own essential nature, thereby being free from wrong identity, not having wrong identity, not having erroneous self-perception, is abundance in one's own self. Just being oneself is swa-atmani, swatmani avasthanam. If you are yourself, you do not attain moksha, do not attain freedom, you do not attain happiness, you just simply claim happiness as your swarupam. In being yourself, you revel in vision of your own nature of fullness of happiness. You take ownership of happiness as your swarupam. So taking ownership of happiness, fullness as one's own swarupam, claiming happiness as one's own swarupam, being free from wrong identity, is abundance in one's own self, is just being one's own self. This is swatmani avasthanam paraprapti. Paraprapti ka, the question comes. What is paraprapti? What is the attainment of the absolute goal? Attainment of absolute goal is nothing but abundance in one's own self, just being one's own self. And you're not yourself. Why? If you have wrong identity, because of self-ignorance, when you mistake yourself for something which you are not, and when you have wrong identity with anatma, body, mind, sense complex, you mistake the body, mind, sense complex for yourself. Your identity, you have wrong identity, then you are not yourself. So having wrong identity because of erroneous self-perception, because of ignorance, is what? Not being oneself. Therefore, knowing your essential nature in the wake of the urge of one's own self being Brahma, when the ignorance becomes resolved, when the wrong identity becomes resolved, abidance in one's own self is possible. So this self-abidance, being one's own self, is what? Attainment of mokshaha. Very profound statement. So it is an ataha, therefore you understand, therefore comes means already he has explained what is bondage. Bondage is caused by ignorance. Therefore, ataha avidya nivruttau. So in the wake of the urge of one's own self, when ignorance becomes resolved, avidya nivruttau, when the resolution of ignorance happens, thereby abidance in one's own self, just being oneself, is attainment of mokshaha, paraprapti. May be very careful here. Sometimes the verbs derived from the roots denoting the action of movement, going, attaining, etc. are used in the sense of knowing. Adigachati, avagachati. Such words are used to mean understanding or knowing, discovering, ఈవెన్ అరైవింగ్ అట్. దీస్ ఆర్ ద వర్డ్స్ యూస్డ్ టు మీన్ ది అటెండ్ ద వర్డ్ ద వర్బ్స్ మీనింగ్ డినోటింగ్ ది యాక్షన్స్ గోయింగ్ రీచింగ్ అటైనింగ్ ఎక్సెట్రా ఆర్ యూస్డ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ద సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ నోయింగ్. పరప్రాప్తి అటైన్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ ఎండ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ నోయింగ్. డిస్కవరీ ఆఫ్ మోక్ష ఈజ్ అటైన్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ మోక్ష, అటైన్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ ఎండ్ విచ్ ప్రిసపోజెస్ ది అటైన్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో ఇన్ ది వేక్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్, when the resolution of ignorance happens, there when the wrong identity resolves, erroneous perception of the self resolves, naturally there is self abidance. One just remains as oneself. Just being oneself is paraprapti. Okay. And to support this fact, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents two quotations from the same Taittiriya Upanishad. Again, in the tradition, it's also important to state one's own. Okay, whatever a person presents, the fact, in support of the fact presented by the author, is supported by stating some the quotations, relevant quotations. Abhayam pratishtham vindate. అభయం ప్రతిష్టాం విందతే, అభయం ప్రతిష్టాం విందతే. సో అభయం ప్రతిష్టాం విందతే మీన్స్ అ పర్సన్ అటైన్స్ ప్రతిష్ట. సి పర్సన్ అటైన్స్ ఈవెన్ fearlessness. Person discovers fearlessness in self-abidance. A person gains fearlessness in self-abidance. Because fearlessness is again swarupa of the atma. In discovering one's own swarupam, one discovers fearlessness simultaneously as one's own nature. How? Because in discovering the reality obtaining as one's own self, one will discover a second thing being not there. Absolutely, there is no second thing other than the self. This is another mind-blowing fact. The world of plurality, the world of duality, the knower known duality, and the world of multiplicity, plurality, seem to be real in our day-to-day experience. But Shastram says, this duality is mithya. Absolutely, there is no duality. Absolutely, there is no world of plurality or multiplicity. Absolutely, because nothing in the world exists separate from the Atma. This reality obtaining as one's own self, the Atma, is non-different from everything and anything in the world. Atma is absolutely non-different from anything and everything in the world. Nothing in the world exists separate from the Atma. Absolutely, what is there is only the Atma, only Brahma. There's no second thing other than the Atma. This is a fact. To see this fact of secondlessness, one has to see one's own self being Brahma. That's why in the wake of knowledge of one's own self being Brahma, this fact of second thing being not there also becomes very clear simultaneously. Second thing being not there, there is no second thing which can do any harm, which can cause the fear. So, second thing alone is the bhaya hetu. What is that which causes fear? There is something other than me which can be harmful to me. Absolutely, the second thing being not there, there's nothing which can cause the fear. Therefore, there is no fear. So in discovering this self, in freeing oneself from wrong identity, in just being oneself, remaining as oneself, in self-abidance, one discovers secondlessness. Not only Atma is Ekaha, Atma is Advitiyaha, Advaitaha, secondless. Therefore, there's no fear. Dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati. The phenomenon called fear itself is possible only if you see a second thing, another than oneself. Absolutely, there is no second thing other than the self, other than the Atma, other than this reality, absolute reality, which is one's own self. Therefore, abhayam pratishtham vindate means a person gains abidance in one's own self, and in self-abidance, a person discovers the fact of second thing being not there. Therefore, there's also fearlessness. That's why knowledge is fearlessness. Fearlessness is the absolute strength, emotional strength. And born ignorance, knowledge is fearlessness. Knowledge is fearlessness is the strength, absolute strength. When can you say a person is very strong person, strongest person? Not the person who goes to gym and then has this muscles. That's okay. That's a good thing. That's something relatively good. But absolutely the strongest person, the person may look very puny and small and tiny. But still, if he is a person of self-knowledge and he is the most powerful, strongest person. Why? A person of absolutely fearlessness. A person of fearlessness is the strongest person. It is jnanam which is fearlessness. Knowledge is fearlessness. Fearlessness is the strength. Your knowledge is the strength. And ignorance is, in ignorance, one sees a second thing. One sees a world of plurality, world of multiplicity. Definitely there will be fear. Dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati. Fear is because of seeing a second thing being there, mistaking it to be real. Ignorance is weakness. Knowledge is strength. This is Pooja Swamiji said all these things in his first course. The book which I'm following now is, actually it's a transcription of the last course, I think. Anyway, சோ அபயம் பிரதிஷ்டாம் விந்ததே. இஃப் யூ வாண்ட் டு பி அப்சல்யூட்லி ஸ்ட்ராங், சி தட் ஃபியர்லெஸ்னஸ், அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஃபியர்லெஸ்னஸ் பீங் யுவர் ஸ்வரூபம். You can never become free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear for good unless and until you discover the fact of the second thing being not there, and which presupposes abundance in one's own self. And this abundance in one's own self is possible only when the ignorance is resolved in the wake of the knowledge. Therefore, self-knowledge is fearlessness. Then, one more quotation is there. Etamanandamayamatmanam upasankramati. This statement also is from the same Taittiriya Upanishad, which are going to study elaborately, are going to discuss when we go through the portion presenting the panchakosha prakriya. So, fifth mantra of the eighth section of second chapter. Etam anandamayam atmanam upasankramati. Even though I'm not going to exactly tell the meaning, what we need to understand here is ஆனந்தமயஹ ஆத்மா. ஆனந்தமயம் ஆத்மானம் உபசங்கிராமதி மீன்ஸ் தி பர்சன் ஈவன் நெகேஸ் தி ஆனந்தமய கோஷ அண்ட் ஹி அரைவ்ஸ் அட் தி செல்ஃப் ஆஸ் தி சோர்ஸ் ஆஃப் எவர் லாஸ்டிங் ஹாப்பினஸ், விச் மீன்ஸ் the absolute reality obtaining as one's own self implied by the term atma is ever of the nature of fullness of happiness. The only source of happiness is atma, and happiness is nothing but limitlessness, fullness, and happiness is one's own swarupam. Fullness is one's own swarupam. Atma is ever anandamayaha. Atma is ever of the nature of happiness. That's why in discovering one's own self, one takes ownership of happiness. Happiness is one's own nature. Fullness is one's own nature. One does attain happiness. Discovering the self itself is discovering happiness being one's own essential nature. Atma is anandamayaha. And what's anandamaya atma, anandamayam atmanam upasankaramati in that sentence? In fact, in deep sleep state, you experience bliss. There is also sukham. That sukham also, the sukham, any degree of sukham experienced, enjoyed is nothing but atma sukham only. This swarupa sukham, one's own swarupam is fullness of happiness. So, in anandamaya kosha, in anandamaya, when anandamaya kosha is understood, Upanishad talks about different degrees of happiness as priyam, modaha, pramodaha. What is priyam? Priyam means pleasure. Sukham, a certain degree of, least degree of sukham is, we can say, priyam. This joy born of seeing something desirable. A joy, pleasure, a person has at the sight of something desirable is priyam. And modaha, the joy, greater joy, a greater degree of, next level of, a degree of joy, a greater joy a person experiences when he possesses that desirable object. A person has greater joy when he enjoys that desired object. He has greatest joy. So great joy, joy, greater joy, and greatest joy. Priyam modaha pramodaha. Priyam is also experience of sukham, experiential sukham. Modaha, experiential sukham. Pramodaha, also experiential sukham. It means there are states of mind, different degrees of pleasure. Great pleasure, greater pleasure, greatest pleasure. Different degrees of pleasure, joy, greater joy. Priyam, modaha, pramodaha. In seeing something desirable, there is a joy. In possessing something, the desired object, there is a greater joy. In enjoying the desired object, there is greatest joy. Still, there's different degrees of pleasures, different degrees of pleasure. They're all experiential pleasure, they're states of mind which come and go. And even all these also, this great, the pleasure, joy, the greater pleasure, the different degrees of pleasure also is nothing but manifestation of fraction of fullness of happiness. Which means there's one and the only source of happiness, which is your own swarupam. Happiness is nothing but limitlessness. Being limitless is being happy. Being limited is being unhappy. Being unhappy, being limited is being bound. And being bound is being unhappy. Therefore, being limitless is limitlessness. Being happy, limitlessness is happiness. So what? Happiness is the swarup of the reality. Limitlessness is the swarup nature of the reality. That is how reality is. And that reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahman, is you. Yourself, you are Brahma, Atma Brahma. Therefore, you can never attain happiness. It's already there as your own swarupam. That is why this paraprapti, mokshaha, the word mokshaha, even though it literally means freedom, what is implied by the term mokshaha is happiness. Mokshaha means freedom. A person, every human mind wants freedom from the unwanted unhappiness. Therefore, what is wanted by every mind is the happiness. Therefore, freedom is only the literal meaning of the word mokshaha. The implied meaning of the word mokshaha is happiness, which is paraprapti, happiness. Discovery of the self is discovery of happiness, because happiness is one's own swarupam. Is not attainable. It is something to be discovered. Therefore, in the wake of knowledge of one's own self, when ignorance becomes resolved, when a person is free from wrong identity, there is self-abidance. Abidance in one's own self, just being one's own self, is reveling in one's own nature of fullness of happiness, which is paraprapti, attainment of mokshaha. That is what is implied by this, explained by this statement of Upanishad also. Which means, any degree of happiness you're experiencing in the world also, as priyam, modaha, pramodaha, they're all different degrees of happiness, which are nothing but manifestations of the fractions of fullness of happiness, which means you are of the nature of happiness. Object is only instrumental. know there's no object of happiness is a source of happiness. Any object of happiness is not a source of happiness. It's only instrumental in manifesting your own swarupam. That is why we have to connect. What is this priyam? What is this different, this least degree of happiness a person has, a pleasure a person has when he sees something desirable? That sukham, the priyam, is also manifestation of fraction of one's own essential nature of happiness. What is greater pleasure? In possessing something desirable, a person has a greater joy. That is also manifestation of fraction of fullness, of fullness. One's own swarupa. What about the greatest joy, paramodaha? That is also manifestation of fraction of fullness of happiness. So these are the sukha, priyam, modaha, pramodaha, different degrees of happiness or pleasure is nothing but states of experience which come and go, experiential sukham, for which the source of happiness is the Atma. Atma is ever of nature of fullness of happiness. Atma swarupa sukham alone becomes manifested as this experiential pleasure, experiential sukham. There's no object in the world which is a source of happiness. This is the main teaching here, okay? There's no object, nothing in the world is a source of happiness. Atma is the only source of happiness. Absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, obtaining as one's own self, is the only source of happiness. Because happiness is nothing but limitlessness, fullness, which is the very nature, swarupam of the reality. That is why in discovering the reality, obtaining as one's own self, one can take ownership of happiness as one's own swarupam. One can revel in the fullness of happiness, which is paraprāptihi, which is attainment of mokshaha. Jnanam, atma jnanam alone is said to be swatmani avasthanam. So swarupa avasthanam is swatmani avasthanam. Abundance in one's own self, just being one's own self, is nothing but swatmani avasthanam, is nothing but atma jnanam. Atma jnanam is paraprāptihi. Swatmani avasthanam is paraprāptihi. Atma jnanam is paraprāptihi. Attainment of moksha is nothing but attainment of knowledge of one's own self. Attainment of knowledge of one's own self means what? In attaining one's own knowledge of one's own self, one can just be, one can remain as one's own self without any wrong identity. This is the teaching here. Therefore, this second sentence, why Shankarabhutpada quotes, Etam Anandamayam Atmanam Upasankramati. This sentence he quotes just to say, any degree of pleasure we experience is nothing but manifestation of fraction of fullness of happiness, which is one's own swarupam. There is no such a thing called happiness at all other than one's own self. Therefore, discovery of one's own self is the attainment of mokshaha. That is the teaching. Okay, with this, Shankara Bhagavad Pada completes his actually the introduction for this, his commentary on this Upanishad. This is a beautiful introduction. Why we need to study the Upanishad. Upanishad is the Pramana Grantha. It's a means of knowledge of the reality. There's no means of knowledge is available to discover your own nature. So we have to study the Upanishad. We need to attain the self-knowledge. You need not attain happiness. You cannot attain happiness. You cannot attain yourself. What you need to attain is the knowledge of yourself. Knowledge is to be attained, not yourself. That's why happiness is yourself, your nature. You cannot attain happiness. Attainment of the knowledge of self is attainment of the knowledge of what happiness is, which is paraprapti, for which you have to study the Upanishad. So he made it very clear. Now, before he begins to write his commentary on the actual Upanishad, to help us understand correctly, not to have any doubts at all, he also wants to present the view of another person. Here, especially Purva Mimamsaka's view of Mokshaha. Even though Swatmani Avasthanam is Paraprapti, attainment of Moksha is nothing but self-abidance in one's own self, just being one's own self. To be one's own self, one needs to know what one's self is. Therefore, knowledge is the only means of attainment of Mokshaha. He made it very clear. But Purva Mimamsaka is a Karma Mimamsaka, a Karma Kandi, whose interest is only in performing actions. He wants to say, he will try to establish that jnanam is not required for paraprapti. What is the view of Purva Mimamsaka? Purva Mimamsaka is also Vaidikaha. Of course, he is a Vaidikaha. He also follows the Vedic way of life, but his interest is only in the Karma Kanda. He is not interested in Upanishads. He is interested only in enjoyment of the results of the rituals he performs. Only interested in the enjoyment of results of actions. Therefore, he also accepts the fact that moksha is the choiceless end. Having analyzed the Purusharthas, moksha being the ultimate goal is very clear. It is not Arthakama. Arthakamas are not the ultimate goals. It is even accumulation of punyam is not the ultimate goal. Ultimately, what is sought after through the Arthakama dharmas is nothing but happiness. Therefore, happiness is freedom from bondage of karma. Is Mokshaha, which is the ultimate choiceless goal, he understands, he accepts. But his view of Moksha is different. He doesn't believe knowledge is freedom. He does not take this stand. Okay? Knowledge is Atma Jnanam Paraprapti. No. According to him, Ashariratvam Paraprapti, not having the body is attainment of moksha. What is moksha according to him? Self-knowledge is not moksha for him. Not having the body is moksha for him. That is the view. Why does he think that way? Because his understanding is moksha is abundance in one's own self. He takes, okay, fantastic. Abundance in one's own self is freedom. Abundance in one's own self means not having, not having a body. According to Shankaracharya, not having wrong identity with the body. Is it not? Not having identity with the body is abundance in self, one's own self, which is moksha. Karmakandi, Purvamamsaka says, abundance in one's own self is mokshaha, means not having the body is abundance in one's own self, which is freedom according to him. So, if I should not have a body, if I should not have a body, I should not be born again. Isn't it? So he says, not having the body is self-abundance. Self-abundance is freedom. Therefore, in order not to have a body, one should avoid the rebirth. Avoiding the rebirth is the only way of freeing oneself from the body. In order not to be born, he says, we should not have karma. If you have punyam and papam in account, having the punya papams, results of actions in one's account alone, contributes for the rebirth. It's whose view? It is the view of Purvamimamsaka. Please be with me. Don't go away. I'll explain this view already, then we'll read the Bhashyam sentences. Not having the body is self-abundance. Self-abundance is freedom. It is his view. In order not to have a body, one should not be born again. And not to be born again, one must not have punya papam in one's account. In order to get rid of the punya papams in one's account, he gives an idea. He has his own plan. He presents a plan of action, what we should do to avoid accumulating punya papams. If we follow this method, we can avoid accumulation of punya papams. Then if we don't have punya papams, then we don't need to be born. The birth itself is for exhausting punya papams. Therefore, let us follow this plan. Okay? Plan of action. See, plan of action doesn't say jnanam. Let us follow this plan of action so that we can avoid punya papams, accumulating punya papams. Get rid of results of actions. Once you don't have results of actions, then there's no need for birth. Don't need for the body. If body is not required, you don't need to be born again. Then without the body, you can just be yourself, which is freedom. This is the Karma Mimamsaka, Purvamimamsaka's view of moksha, which means you do not require jnanam as a means of attainment of moksha. My God, there's no need to struggle, strain. You don't need to go through this discipline of Jnana Yoga at all. The discipline of Jnana Yoga is not required. Shravanam is not required. You need not break your head to do Mananam. Nidhyasanam is not required. Attainment of Jnanam is not required. Why do you need to assimilate the Jnanam? Nothing is required. You just follow this plan of action. You can just get rid of all your punya bhavams. Then you don't require a body. You don't need to be born. Then you can abide in yourself. You can just be yourself. There's a moksha. This is another view of moksha of a Puramimamsaka. Got it now, idea? What is the plan of action he suggests? What is that? He says, to understand his plan of action, which is not required, but still nice to think about it. See how he thinks. Okay. There are different types of actions, karmas. Before I go to that sentence, let me make it very clear. The different types of actions. What are they? We can first say, vihitam karma. Vihitam karma is also said to be nitya karma. Vihita karmani, otherwise said to be nitya karmani. Vihita karmani or nitya karmani means prescribed duties, ordained duties. Shastram ordains certain duties that they should be performed choicelessly, daily, regularly. Vihita karmani means which should be prescribed by the shastram, which should be performed choicelessly. We have nitya karmani, also naimittika karmani. When you say nitya karmani, you should include naimittika karmani also. Nitya karmani, naimittika karma. Nitya karmani are the rituals, etc., are the duties which should be performed daily, regularly, choicelessly. Naimittika karmani are the rituals which should be performed occasionally, but definitely should be performed choicelessly. Nitya naimittika karmani are vihita karmani. Okay. So, Shastram ordains, if we do not perform them, we will incur papam, called pratyavaya doshaha, pratyavaya papam. So, non-performance of nitya karmani, nitya nimittika karmani will result in accumulating papam. Okay? Nitya naimittika karmani, otherwise said to be vihita karmani, prescribed duties, ordained duties, non-performance of which will result in accumulating papam. So what is his idea? Let us perform, okay, the performance, we should perform nitya naimittika karmani, so that we will not accumulate papam. It is the action plan number one. Action plan, okay, number two. What's number two? Pratishiddha karmani. Pratishiddha karmani, otherwise said to be nishiddha karmani. Pratishiddha karmani or nishiddha karmani means prohibited actions, or any action which is not in conformity with dharma is a prohibited action. And certain things are prohibited by the shastra. Therefore, prohibited actions which should not be performed. In order not to perform prohibited actions, one must make use of one's willpower. One must make use of one's knowledge of right and wrong. And one's actions must be in keeping with one's own knowledge of right and wrong. Not in conformity with one's actions should not be dictated by one's personal likes and dislikes. Therefore, he says, okay, this performance of Pratishiddha Karmani, prohibited actions, will result in accumulating papam. Understand? Therefore, avoidance of prohibited actions will help us get rid of papam. Performance of nitya naimittika karmani will help us get rid of the papam, pratyavaya papam. Non-performance of the prohibited actions also will help us get rid of the papam. We can get rid of papams. How? By performing nityanimittika karmani, by avoiding patishiddha karmani, prohibited actions. So we will not have papam in our account. This is action plan. Okay, then what? Kamya karmani. Kamya karmani are the karmas which are performed for fulfillment of one's specific desires. So desire prompted actions are kamya karmani. Kamya karmani. This performance of kamya karmas definitely will produce a punyam. Performance of these desire prompted actions will result in the accumulation of punyam. Okay, let us get rid of the punyam. How? By avoiding the performance of kamya karmas, we can avoid accumulating punyam. Clear? So no punyam, no papam. Just try to get rid of punya papams accumulated as a result of performing kamya karmas, performing nitya karma by not performing, okay, by avoiding the prohibited actions. Avoidance of the performance of kamya karmas will help us get rid of punyam. Avoidance of prohibited actions will help us get rid of papam. Performance of nitya karmas will help us get rid of papam. So that what? We will not have pratyavaya dosha, we will not have any punyam, any papam. We will have nil account, okay? We will not have any punyam or papam in our account. No punya papam. So what? Agami karma will not be there. If we follow this action plan, we will not accumulate new agami papa punya papam. Okay, this is his idea. Then, prardha karma becomes exhausted in this janma itself. So we will not have paradha karma phalam. We will not have agami karma phalam. And what about sanchita karma? He has his own idea, okay? This performance of nitya naimittika karmas properly will help us neutralize the accumulated sanchita karma. The present performance of nitya naimittika karmas properly will help us neutralize sanchitam karma. Finished. Oh, one can become free from accumulation. Oh, no. Free from sanchita karma, paradha karma, agami karma. It is his action plan for getting rid of all the punya papams one has in one's account. Is it clear? Let me repeat again. See, prohibited actions are, somebody want repetition? Please bear with me. Prohibited actions are said to be pratishiddha karmani or nishiddha karmani or avihita karmani. Avihita karmani. And prescribed duties, ordained duties which should be performed regularly are said to be vihitam karma, vihita karmani. And vihita karmani or nitya karmani, namittika karmani. Some should be performed regularly, daily, some should be performed occasionally. Okay. And kamya karmani. Kamya karmani are the karma actions which are performed specifically for the fulfillment of specific desires. So desire prompted actions are Kamya Karmani. So performance of Kamya Karmani, performance of desire prompted actions will result in accumulation of punyam. Non-performance of prohibited actions, performance of prohibited action will result in accumulation of papam. Performance of prohibited actions will result in accumulation of papam. Non-performance of prescribed duties will result in accumulation of papam. Therefore, we have to see that these punya papams are not there. If you don't have these punya papams, how can we avoid accumulation of punya papams? Perform your nitya karma. Performance of nitya karma, nitya nimittika karmani, otherwise it will be vihita karmani, will result in, we can avoid papam, pratyavaya papam. Get rid of papam. The non-performance of prohibited actions will result in non-accumulation of papam. Non-performance of kamya karmani will result in non-accumulation of punyam. So, no punya papam, which means agami karma, the results of action that are going to come later on, can be avoided by following this action plan. We will not have agami karma if we follow this action plan. That prarabdha karma will become exhausted in this very life itself, choicelessly. So prarabdha karma also is over. Sanchita karmas can be exhausted, can be neutralized by performing nitya naimittika karmas regularly, the prescribed duties. So one can avoid sanchita agami prarabdha karma. One can get rid of all the karmas by following this action plan. One's no karma, no karma phala, no results of actions in one's account means one does not require a body to exhaust them. Therefore, one need not be born again. If you are not born again, you are free. Then not being born again, not having a body is self-abidance, which is moksha. You will be yourself without a body. This is his idea. Okay. Therefore, there's no struggle. We don't need to work very hard to attain jnanam. Upanishad class is not required. You don't need to write commentary on this. It is like Shankaracharya, Swamiji used to say this in the fun, you know. So Shankara Bhagavatpada does not need to make effort to write commentary on Upanishads. Upanishad study itself is not required. Shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam, jnanam, not at all required. Look at this. This is called Purva Pakshaha. Okay? Purva Pakshaha means what? Another party having another view who object this actually presented actual view. Attainment of jnanam is attainment of mokshaha. Knowledge is freedom. No, knowledge is not required. One need not attain jnanam. Let us follow this action plan to attain freedom, because freedom is nothing but abundance in oneself. Self-abidance is nothing but being free from the body. Being free from the body means not having the body, not assuming the body, not being born again, for which one should not have karma in one's account. Not to have karma, punya papa in one's account, one has to follow this action plan. all sanchita karmas will become neutralized by regular, by properly doing nitya naimittika karmas. How? Performance of nitya naimittika karmas will help one neutralize sanchita karma. Non-performance of prohibited actions will help one get rid of agami papa karma. Avoidance of kamya karma will help one avoid, you know, to help one to get rid of agami punyam. So no agami karma, sanchitta parabdha will be exhausted, sanchitta can be neutralized, therefore jnanam is not required. Understand? This is his view. He is going to read. And tomorrow I will not repeat this. Tomorrow I'll straight away go to the sentences where he presents this view. We are going to read Purapakshi's view in Shankara Bhagavatpada's own words tomorrow. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Memorize this sentence. Swatmani Avasthanam Ajnana Nivruttau Swatmani Avasthanam Paraprapti. In the wake of knowledge of one's own self, when ignorance becomes resolved, in having the ignorance resolved, just abundance in one's own self, just being one's own self without wrong identity is attainment of freedom. This is the main teaching for today's class. Okay.